Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm Lisa Carpenter, master life coach to driven, ambitious humans who want more out of life without having to sacrifice themselves to achieve it. I'll share how it's possible to slow down, take better care of yourself, find more peace and ease, create sustainable energy, stop procrastination and overwhelm, and fall in love with your life, your business, and your body. This podcast is for you if you're ready to learn what it takes to thrive as a high performer, do less but achieve more, make you and your well-being a top priority, and create your extraordinary life. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast. And today I have a very special guest on, and I know I say that every single week, but this lady truly is a very special guest. Casey and I have known each other for, gosh, I don't even know how long, 10 years,
probably
8 years?
10 years, probably, something like that.
Yeah. Right. We've collaborated. You have been a client of mine from the past. We've remained friends and colleagues. I love the work that you are putting out in the world. And I know we're going to have an amazing conversation today because it's going to speak to, I know a lot of the women that I work with, it also speaks to who you and I are. So before we dive in, can you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody? Let them know who you are, why you're so amazing, how you're helping people in the world. Basically, have a very big humble brag on yourself, Casey.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. It's such a joy to be talking to you. And so I am the host, the facilitator of the Quiet Collective. I'm a business and marketing strategist, and I talk about helping quiet rebels bend the rules legally, of course, so that they can have exponential success in both their lives and businesses. And, you know, I talk about my journey because I kind of followed the status quo. I got the corporate job, I worked my way up the career ladder, and eventually when we immigrated to Australia, I decided to take the plunge into entrepreneurship. And so I started my first business, which was a marketing consultancy, and that grew very quickly. I had a team of five, it was all going swimmingly, until one day I was sitting at my desk and I was like, what have I created? I thought this was a dream, and in reality it was a nightmare, right? I was tied to my desk 16, 18 hours a day. I'd gone into business for myself because I wanted the freedom and flexibility to be with my children, and that was definitely not the case. And so I had to take a really good, long, hard look at myself and say, hold on a second, what's going on here? And I really was at those stages of burnout, you know, where I was literally not looking after myself at all, throwing dinner on the table and literally back at my desk. And it was really then that I started my personal development journey, and I realized how introverted I was, how highly sensitive I was, and how I'd really been wearing this pretend extrovert mask for my whole life. And so the business was a reflection of that. And so I chose to burn that business to the ground and start from scratch. And that has now evolved into the Quiet Collective, where we really support other really deeply intuitive, introverted, sensitive women to tap into their own inner quiet and really learn to, first of all, embody and love themselves, and then understand what is their unique gifts, their unique superpowers, their unique skills and strengths that they can bring to the table, and then build a business from that place of alignment so that they don't end up burning out, right? So that they can actually create success on their terms. So that's essentially what we do.
So just a little, so just helping people a little bit. So you said so many really, like, amazing things in there, and one of them was the power of being a more quiet, intuitive person. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, like, I had a belief for a long time that the people who got the most attention or grew their business the fastest were the ones who were the most extroverted and loudest in the room. And that's never been me. You know, I don't seek to be the center of attention, although I have come to learn that I do like being on stage. I do like doing big, bold, audacious things. But that doesn't mean that I've suddenly turned into an extrovert. I'm still very much an introvert. So can you talk a little bit about the powers that us quiet, introverted, introspective, intuitive people have in terms of, say, growing our businesses or even leading in our own lives?
Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. And I want to come to a piece about the visibility and the branding piece too, because I think in business that's really important and it's one of the key foundations that I teach. But it's really about actually recognizing that this quiet power is such a strength, right? It is such a superpower. I think for the longest time we've viewed introversion or sensitivity as these character flaws. And in fact, I read a definition going back a few years ago. I can't remember which dictionary it was, but they even used the term narcissist as an introvert. I was like, what the hell? Where is this coming from? What is this viewpoint or perception of introversion? And really, when we sit back and we look at it, and thanks to the work of Susan Cain and so many other women who've really dove into this work around introversion, it's, you know, there's so many gifts that we have. And I think one of the things is this deep introspection, right? So being able to take what we see and really process it in a deep way so that anything that kind of comes out of our mouths is really considered, that we actually have given some thought to, and that's the value that we add to the table. We might be sitting quiet in the corner, but we're deeply actively listening. And so one of the beautiful gifts that we have as entrepreneurs and business owners is the ability to actively listen, which creates this connection with our clients, with our audience, where they see, feel so seen and heard and understood, because we do have that ability to listen, and then the ability to actually have empathy and compassion and meeting them where they're at, so they do feel that support. So, you know, those are kind of the two or three key areas that I think around introversion is the deep introspection, the ability to really analyze and think through things, and then the ability to actively listen, which creates that connection with our audience. So those are kind of the key.
So I agree with everything you say there. And I also see how it can be problematic in terms of putting yourself out and being more visible, because the very things that we're good at means that, oh, but wait a minute, in order to put myself out there, don't I have to be more like out in front versus like sitting back and listening? So even in my own business, you know, you've worked with me. I'm a great listener. I'm a great question asker. I'm a very present, but being like boldly out there when you don't even know who's listening or if anybody's listening, this is social media, can sometimes feel very challenging. Like, what am I doing this? Does this feel good? So how do you support people in creating more visibility for themselves when they do find themselves as more introverted or more introspective?
Yeah, so this is this piece where I think it's so important to think about, as you're building a brand for yourself, you have to get known, right? You have to get known in some way, shape, or form. You think of all the big brands out there, it's because people know them. And so one of the big pieces that I work with my clients is really, what is the conversation that you want to be part of? Like, what is the thing that's so deeply meaningful for you that you will actually get up and speak about it, right? So that's this is the thing that I think as introverts, it's not about using the excuse of quiet as an excuse to hide behind, right? Because I don't think, yes, we might be quiet in nature, but that doesn't mean that our messages need to be quiet. And, you know, you think of yourself in a one-to-one conversation, when you are really fired up about something, you're going to be actually speak quite boldly and about it. So it's about finding those things, like what's that stake in the ground that you feel so passionate about, that you feel so fired up about, that you actually want to be part of the conversation. So getting clear on that one thing that you really stand for is part of it first, right? Because then I think that the opportunity to speak about that is just going to come up because you're so fired up about it. There's so much emotion attached to it, right? And then the second piece here, Lisa, is actually finding the channels or the tactics that feel good to you. And this is where, you know, we were chatting a little bit offline, where I think we buy into this belief that all of us have to be on social media to get visible. And it's just simply not true. You know, I don't think that you need to be on social media to actually be visible and to build your brand. And of course, there's billions of people on social media, which is fantastic. But in reality, if you work back and you reverse engineer the numbers, how big do does your audience actually need to be? We talk about having 1,000 raving fans to actually have a $1 million business, right? And so you, again, let's challenge those beliefs about having this massive, massive audience to be able to have a profitable and sustainable, successful business. And so finding those channels that feel really good to you, where you can show up and share that message very powerfully, is the key. And that's different for everyone, right? I talk about being marketing model agnostic, because it's really about finding that channel that feels good for you. Like you said, you love being on stage. I, now that I've worked through some of my stuff around public speaking, actually love to be on stage too, right? And so even for an introvert, if you think about it, if you're on stage, you're immediately creating connection with your audience. That's going to stop that little bit of small talk that you have to, you know, you have to navigate all the small talk if you go to a conference. But suddenly, if you're standing on stage, you immediately have that authority. And then there's that thread of connection that you have when you get off the stage to actually start a really deep and meaningful conversation off the back end of that, right? So that really plays into an introvert's strengths, actually.
There's so much that you said in there. Like there's
sorry.
So much.
I went off on a tangent.
I'm trying to make notes. I'm trying to listen. I'm like, oh my God, I want to circle back to that. Because I used to say to you, I remember saying into your group one time, you know, we can't use our introversion as an excuse, because often it's not about being introverted. It's about the insecurities, the deep beliefs that you have about why you're not putting yourself out there. And I think many of us have these stories. I know I have had about social media, and that we have to be on social media. We have to have a social media presence. And the whole reason I started this podcast was because I was so annoyed that Instagram gave me like, what, 50, I think it was like 15 seconds at a time. And I'm trying to record this like message that is so important in 15 second intervals. So I was like, screw this. I'm going to start my own podcast as a way to connect with people. So although I am still on social media, for me personally, I show up in my stories because it's easy for me. My team really runs the grid. I do most of my own writing, but I try and stay as far away from it as possible. I want to talk to people in my DMs, but I'm not going to burn myself out on social media because I don't love it. It's not my favorite place to be. And I don't, you know, I believe we need to have a presence. But if my entire business could be built off of referrals, which is really what I'm working towards, I would be a happy girl. I never had to be on social media again.
Absolutely. And so this is, yeah, totally right, Lisa. And so this is, I think, also one of the things where we've got to consider why are we using a particular channel too, right? So where you said we have to have a presence, I absolutely agree. And so how I like to split this up is, if you're thinking about marketing and visibility, which is all top of the funnel, people don't know that you exist, and your whole objective at the top of the funnel is to get people to know you exist. And we've got to figure that out, right? We've got to actually have some kind of presence. And so how I like to split that up is to say, okay, let's look at your internal visibility. Where is a channel where you can actually build your thought leadership, where you can actually build your credibility? What platform? And so it sounds like even for you, potentially that is Instagram and or the podcast, right? And so that is like, that is your place to really build that thought leadership and credibility, so you get known for the thing that you're so passionate about. And then we look at the external visibility, which for me is all about the traffic. Where can you actually go then to actually leverage maybe other people's audiences? You could do paid ads, you could do whatever, it could be organic, whatever that looks like, to actually drive people to your content so that people, so other people are finding you. And I think that's the distinction too, to think about when you are looking at visibility, are you doing it from a thought leadership and a branding perspective, or are you doing it from a traffic perspective? And getting really clear on the distinctions between those two things is important too.
Because it really needs to be both and, correct, right? Instead of it's just correct one or the other. And that, you know, that is something I've learned. You can put yourself out there on social media till the cows come home. That doesn't mean that people are just going to magically show up. There is work involved, which then adds this next layer, which I was telling you about. You know, to this day, if you get me in person, I can pick out my people and we will sit on a couch and we will have a deep conversation. But still to this day, if I hop on a Zoom with someone I don't know to get to know them, it feels like the most awkward and uncomfortable thing, because that physical, I'm such a kinesthetic person. I'm such a reader of energy. We don't get that on Zoom. So you and I have worked together for a long time. So I know you really well. So this is easy for me. But when it's somebody I don't know, it's way more challenging. So then I'm like, oh, I need to meet new people. I need to connect with people. I know I want to connect with people, but it doesn't feel the same for me as when I'm in person. And that has been something that I've really struggled with, because I stop myself from connecting with other amazing humans just because I'm like, oh my God, am I going to be that awkward woman in the room again? Who's like, we're going to make weird small talk about stuff I don't want to talk about. So how do you support people in moving past that?
Yeah, this is such a great question. And, you know, I've just recently got certified in human design, and I'm bringing that to my business. And really, Lisa, this has been such a game changer for me and my clients, understanding more about our human design and our unique makeup, right? And so it's so interesting that you say that, because really for you, it is because you've got that deep intuition, you can read energy. And what I'm hearing is you've got this natural ability to read the room in person and connect, right? I'm actually completely the opposite. So I actually can connect really well online, and I can find this little nuances, and I can find little threads of connection and then just build from that conversation. So again, I think as unique human beings, we are so, so different. And so this piece where I use human design as an element to understand, okay, what are your unique gifts and superpowers? And then how can we actually create marketing channels that are going to suit you? And I'll share a little quick example. Is one of my clients, she's a fractional COO, and she's building this agency of OBMs and VAs. And she started from zero when we first started, brand new to business, right? And we did her human design. And, you know, if anyone's listening that's familiar, she's got a 4-line in her human design profile, which means that you're an amazing networker. And she has said the same thing to me. She said, Casey, excuse me, I hate being on social media. I don't want to be on social media. And I said, okay, great. Let's build your business without social media. And so we started with networking, and gradually she started networking first in with her local communities online. And now she's been invited into this massive network as one of the major, the master coaches in this network. And she's literally gone from zero to six figures in 5 months because she's focused. She's literally been laser focused on the networking that she's been doing, but then got very specific. It's not just about jumping on coffee chats with everyone, right? So at the same time. So it's being very mindful of that. But this is where, again, you know, understanding your unique makeup is so important, right, Lisa? So yeah.
And that's something I've always loved and admired about you. Like, you're just one of those people that knows all the people and easily connects with people and goes out and connects with people that I'm like, how did you connect with her? Oh, I just reached out and connected with her, which I would never, you know, that's just not the way that I operate. That feels so weird for me, right, but it's right. Your superpower. And I love that about you. And even with human design, because I never get married to any of these things like Myers-Briggs, right. Human design, right? Like, use them as tools, use them as data. But correct. One of the things that I know with my human design, because I'm a manifesting generator, is I'm really good at responding. So this is where social media can be a problem, because if I don't get that external feedback from people, if I don't have people DMing me, it's not about external validation. I don't need that. It's about my ability to respond to other people. That gets me excited. And when that's not there, I feel like I'm standing on a mountaintop going, like, you know, yodeling into the wind and nobody's listening, right? Meanwhile, knowing like, hey, this is an important message. And how do I continue to show up when certain things that I need in order to thrive aren't kind of working? And that's, you know, that's the downside of social. But even on the podcast, you know, and this is why for years I've done solo episodes, right? Mm-hmm. It's mainly me and me, occasionally guests. The reason that I'm doing a series of guests now is because after the year I had, I'm like, wow, I feel really tapped out. So I'm going to talk to all the interesting people I know. I'm going to celebrate them. I'm going to put them out on my stage. And this is bringing me so much joy, because it's not on me right now to create content. And the flip side is you guys get to go out and share it with your audience as well. So it's still like this amazing win-win. And I get to have these phenomenal conversations with people I love and learn. So it's a great, you know, it's a great opportunity for me outside of social media as well.
This is such a good point, and spoken like a true manifesting generator as well, right? Because, and side note, I totally agree. Let's not get hung up on any of the labels, and let's use them as tools. Because again, you know, hanging up your hat as I'm an introvert, I'm an HSP, I'm a blah, 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 I'm human design, whatever it is really important. Let's use these tools and see how we can actually make them work for us. But, you know, you talked about joy, right, Lisa? And for manifesting generators, I'm also a manifesting generator. We're born to love what we do and do what we love, right? And so even as you hear that, you can hear the joy in your voice. It's like, oh, this is such a win-win-win for everybody. And so when we're doing work that we love, it doesn't even feel like work, which then raises our energetic frequency and attracts more into our life too, right? So I'm all about that.
The challenging part about being a manifesting generator, and I don't know if you've come across this yet for yourself, but one of the hardest things, especially with this year, is letting go of things that I've loved that no longer align with me, and not getting in the stories of, but I should hold on to this, because what? So many different things become part of my identity, right? Like I give myself over to them and I love it and I'm all in. And now I'm like, wow, I'm all out, but I'm not totally all out, right? Like, so for instance, mm-hmm. I'm no longer competing. I'm no longer training like an athlete, so to speak, right? Like I've really pulled back because I'm in my soft phase of life. Mm-hmm. I'm in mm-hmm. my soft phase of life right now, which is really cool. And I'm doing other things that I've wanted to do for a long time, like traveling. But that shift of like, wow, I love this. And now I don't love it anymore. And I need to shift. I used to love recording my solo episodes for my podcast. Like they would just literally come to me from the heavens and I couldn't record enough. I had so much to say. And now I'm like, wow, that's not happening. So I need to shift. Mm. And not making like judgments about it, not making it wrong, just being able to pivot. And, you know, we talked about this, not like being willing to not fit in, like being willing to not fit in. And I think a big part of us more quiet folks, it's part of our job is to go the opposite direction from what everybody else is doing. And that's the path to our success. It's not following like other people's game plans, but really finding what speaks to us.
Absolutely, 1000%. And I think this is like, again, we've got to do the inner work to unpack all the shoulds and have to's and musts, and because we're so wired to fit in, right? And yet at the same time, I talk to so many of my clients and they talk to me, I feel like the black sheep of the family. I feel like the odd one out. I feel like the weirdo, right? And this is why I talk about quiet rebels actually bending the rules, because I think it's so important for, and I think so many of us have actually covered that up with this whole idea of being the good girl too. So we actually deeply have this inner quiet rebel sitting under, you know, underneath the surface, but it's actually unpacking all the layers of conditioning that we've had to do to actually tap into that. And so I really do believe that that's where the innovation comes from though too, right? And so being able to actually be, this is why I talk, Lisa, about, I really believe that women are going to heal and lead the world, especially the quiet ones, because when we can get brave enough to actually tap into that inner quiet power, we are really unstoppable. And it's about actually having the support around us to be able to actually have the courage to bend the rules and carve new paths. Because not only is that going to fuel us and feed us, but it's actually going to serve the greater good as well. So I think there's so much in that, where we've got to, you know, I've worked with you, I've been doing this work since that kind of breakdown moment where I was like, holy moly, I've been living this pretend life for my whole life. And who actually am I at my core? And so, you know, there's been onion layers and onion layers and onion layers of unpacking to get me to this point. But, you know, it's just so important if we really hear and we've got this deep knowing that we're here to actually make an impact and to leave a legacy and to actually change something in the world. We've got to be able to actually bring our belonging to ourselves first, accept ourselves for who we are and then bring that belonging to the room, whatever that room looks like, and being bold enough to actually stand in that power.
And that belonging to ourselves is so important, because when we are not belonging to ourselves, it looks like self-abandonment. It looks like not doing the things that really light us up, not putting ourselves out there, hiding, being in our, you know, pleaser, caretaker roles. And this work to put yourself out there requires a tremendous amount of vulnerability, tremendous amount of courage, as you said. How do you support the women that you work with cultivating deeper levels of courage and vulnerability so that they can go out there and stand powerfully in the message that they have and have the conversations that they want to be part of? Because that's a big part of visibility.
It's a huge piece, right? And I think one of, you know, talking about my gifts and my superpowers, Lisa, one of the gifts that I have apart from connection is this ability to create a really safe space. And so inside these group containers, I am very mindful about who actually comes into these rooms, right? Because I want to be able to create the safe space where you feel safe enough to actually take off all those masks and start to show up vulnerably for yourself. So inside those rooms, it's like these baby steps, right? It's let's get vulnerable in these rooms first and start sharing. And then gradually, I talk about your courage muscle being strengthened, right? And so as you start to be in the practice of that, you strengthen that muscle over time, that you can then start to take those baby steps outside of the kind of this little core community and start to actually put your work out into the world. And so that's one of the key pieces. But what I've noticed is as women start to share vulnerably in these rooms, they feel like they're not alone too. And so it's this whole sense of community where I've got your back. Let's walk this path together, shoulder to shoulder. I've got you. And so that's the momentum that actually drives people inside of our communities to actually take the necessary steps then. And of course, then there's the mindset work of unpacking and becoming aware of our limiting beliefs and starting to work through all of those kind of things and starting to practice that too. But I think one of the things that you said that I think is so important too is the erosion of self-trust when we say we're going to do something, but we don't actually follow through with it too, right? And so, you know, even we were having a conversation offline, but one of the things that I noticed just in my own personal journey where I chose to really prioritize my health and well-being was making a decision first of all, and then having the dedication. I changed it from discipline to dedication, because discipline feels so hard and so like hustly and it's just not my jam at all. But I talk about the dedication, which is that unwavering commitment to the decision that you make, because life's just one choice after another, right? And so having that dedication and then having that daily devotion to the dedication, that builds self-trust, right? So inside these communities, we're like, okay, what is the one thing that you're going to do? What decision are you going to make today? How do you need the support? What are you going to be dedicated to doing every single day to show up for yourself like that, you know? And gradually you build that self-trust in yourself that you can actually then do the thing that you said that you're going to do and then stretch that.
Isn't it interesting the meaning that we give words, right?
Right.
Connotations. So whether it's discipline, devotion, it doesn't matter. What it all comes down to though is how do you want to show up for yourself? And you made such a great point there, because I talk a lot about self-integrity, and many of the women that I work with and that you work with, they're really good at being in integrity with other people.
Totally.
They really struggle with being in integrity with themselves. And what I've watched with you, and I know this to be true because this is how I work with my clients, is until they start to prioritize themselves and they start keeping the promises that they make to themselves about their health and well-being, whether it's their physical or their emotional well-being, hopefully both, not much is going to change in their external environment. Right? You cannot grow your business if you are not growing yourself. You cannot trust yourself in your business if you cannot trust yourself to take care of yourself. And this is what it really comes down to. So when you said, what you were really saying was you have to decide before you decide, because otherwise, like I'm also in this phase right now, I was talking about this earlier of my, I don't feel like I'm in my soft phase. I'm in my, I don't feel like it phase. And even in my I don't feel like it phase, I have to parent that part of me that doesn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. So although I'm not training at the level I used to be training at, not training is not an option because I don't feel like it. Because taking care of myself is part of my physical and emotional hygiene, and it's non-negotiable. So I can scale it back. I can change how many days I'm training, but how I eat, how I sleep, how I move, how I connect, those foundational pieces of caring for myself, they are not on the table to negotiate with. Because if they are not in place, I cannot show up with a clear head, solid and grounded in my business, ready to trust myself to make the decisions that I need to make as I grow my business or put myself out there, right? Like, you cannot be courageous if you haven't had a good night's sleep. You cannot be courageous if you fed yourself garbage food and you're constantly criticizing how your body looks or feel. It's not, totally. Not possible. So I've loved watching your journey of really having that like click for you and how that's changed everything that's going on around you.
So, so massive, right, Lisa? And again, like, it only clicks when it clicks, you know? It's so hard. I can say in hindsight, I'm like, okay, now I know, right? But it's this whole piece, you know, yeah, it has to click for you. And I think your time will come when it clicks for you, right? But again, being committed to the journey is so important, right, too. So I think, you know, one thing that I'm really proud of for myself is the resilience to continue to show up. Even when I didn't know where I was going, or even when I didn't know what was happening, right? And I think that's a big part. But, you know, this piece around really letting it, you know, I think so many women feel like you logically know in your head this stuff, but when I'm talking about it actually clicking, it moves from your head into
your body,
right? And that's when you like, ah, oh, I feel this, I know this. This is like, it's almost like a coming home moment. And there's all these, like, so many layers to all of that, right? But that's the piece where I'm just like, okay, I think this is important, but you said something about making the decision before the decision. So it's actually making those commitments to yourself around the non-negotiable foundational things, that if you keep showing up for yourself in that with the resilience, it's going to land, yeah. Right?
You have to decide before you decide. Like, I know I'm going to the gym tomorrow. The decision's already made. So I'm not trying to make the decision tomorrow. I already know what the commitment is. And I think a big part of getting to that place where it gets out of your head and drops into your body is it takes the ability to be honest with yourself, a lot of self-reflection, and really being curious about the resistance that you have to stepping into taking up space in your life, to mattering more in your life. And this is for a lot of people who are more quiet. They've learned that that's the way to be. And
Correct.
When you are a quiet person, you don't take up space. You learn to get small. You learn to not matter. So it's breaking down that barriers of the things that are holding you back. So you don't have to change into an extrovert. It's not about that. It's understanding you can be quiet and not live a small life anymore because you're choosing to step into more. But it really does take, you know, it takes that awareness or having those conversations to look at what is the resistance and, more importantly, the cost, right? The cost when we don't prioritize ourselves, the cost to our business, the cost to our relationships, the cost to our health. Like, we get one life, and one day you're going to leave the planet. And if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, like, a big thing that I talk about now, not to be morbid, but I have less days in front of me than behind me now. That's just math. That is math.
I hear you.
I do not have time to play small anymore. And when I am committed to taking care of myself, when you're committed to taking care of yourself, I'm rolling the dice in my favor that I'm going to have more years to make the impact that I want to make. And that's why I came to this planet. So how selfish am I if I don't get out of my own way and do my work and figure out how to get myself out there more so I can create the impact and have the influence that I signed up for when I came to this planet? And I think that that's what a lot of your clients are really learning and that you're really supporting them with. Like, You don't get to be selfish about your gifts. You're robbing the world of your brilliance.
Absolutely, exactly right. And I think this is this piece where, you know, you said, Lisa, that we, again, there's so much conditioning where we taught as quiet people to not take up space. And I feel the same as you, right? Just turn 50, I'm about to turn 51, and I have less days on this planet. And that's the maths, and that's the it's the fuel that keeps me going. And it's like, exactly right, how selfish are we if we are holding back these gifts when we have been put on this planet for a reason, doing the work that we're doing? So yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and you know, an abundant mindset means that whether you're introverted or extroverted, there's more than enough space, clients, people, like there's more than enough for all of us. Like our cups runneth over, and we have to operate from that place. We don't need to fight for space. But yeah, so many of us as women have been taught, like, if you take up space, you're taking from somebody else, right? I think you guys have a saying in Australia, the tall poppy syndrome, right? Like, don't be a tall poppy.
That's right.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, we need fields of tall poppies at this point. Like, there's room for all of us to be tall poppies. Because the irony is, it doesn't matter if you're shorter or taller, the sun hits everybody the same way. The sun doesn't go, oh, well, you're a tall poppy, so you get more sun. Right? The rays hit everybody. And we have to start thinking about it in that way when we're putting ourselves out there. Like, it's okay to be quiet and take up space. We need to.
Absolutely. Take up space, get really clear on what your message is going to be, because that's going to allow you to stand out from the other tall poppies, and then understand that you don't need a billion people in your audience to actually make a difference too, right?
That was the other thing that I wanted to circle back to, because, you know, so often we look at people who've got, like, you know, 16 million followers or 200K followers. I think maybe I have 6,000 followers now, maybe. Mm-hmm. Those are all organic people who have just found me from whatever. So most people would look at me as not being an influencer, but those are people that actually pay attention. And I have built an incredibly successful and profitable business, but my stats to the outside world would look like, well, that can't be possible. So now for me, it's, you know, it's no longer really about revenue. Revenue is always great. Profit's always great. It's about impact. It's about impact. And influence. And really stepping into, what does it look like to allow myself to be a thought leader? What does it look like to allow myself to take up more space and to know that I belong? And this has been part of my journey. And it's a part of your journey, Casey. And it's a part of the journey of a lot of women. And I think that so many people think that we didn't have to go through the struggles or the mindset work or the emotions to get there. And it's simply not true. We might just be a little bit further down the path, but let me tell you, there have been multiple tears and tantrum moments in my life, and resistance, and what am I doing, and second guessing, and all of those type of face down moments. Like, nobody escapes the messiness of being human, or the messiness that comes from growing a business and getting more visible in a world where it's so hard to capture people's attention.
Attention.
Right? And really the best strategy that I have, the best strategy that you have, like you said, with your clients, is to become more of you and less of who you think you need to be.
There you go.
Right? Like, that truly, I believe, is the key, but that is also wickedly vulnerable. To be more of yourself.
To more of yourself, exactly. Right. Yes. And that's the work, right? Like, again, I talk about these foundational currencies, Lisa, that are so important in your business. Before the currency of money comes into your business, you have to have these other foundational currencies, right? And one of the things is this intrinsic currency. We have got to be sold on ourselves before we can actually expect to sell to others. And yes, it takes vulnerability. And, you know, I share this funny story where, you know, I'm not on social media much at all, right? I do a lot of my marketing behind the scenes, and I have a very successful business marketing behind the scenes, right? But one of the things was, I was running this challenge, it was probably going back a year ago or so, and I had a pop-up Facebook group. And I would go into this Facebook group every day to run this challenge, and I'd do a Facebook Live. And I was getting a lot of engagement. And anyway, on this particular day, I was running late. And so I quickly hopped into the Facebook Live and I thought, oh, that's a bit weird. There's no engagement. And I carried on teaching for about 10 minutes. And I thought, I better go and check what the comments are. And I pop in the group and there's like, Casey, where are you? We're waiting for you, And I was like, what have I done? And I'd pressed go live into some other person's massive, I'm talking about like 100,000 people Facebook group, teaching away, completely oblivious, you know, but I took a little selfie and I owned it and I was really vulnerable. And I said, you know, mistakes happen and this is, well, that post, Lisa, blew up because it was just me being super vulnerable in the moment. We are not perfect. We make mistakes as business owners. And it's like, it's finding those little moments. I'm not saying share all of your dirty laundry and being super vulnerable. I'm not talking about that. But there is a level of vulnerability that is actually going to showcase the human behind the brand that is so important. But you've got to own that and you've got to be comfortable with that for yourself first.
And that's what creates connection. Right. That is ultimately what creates connection. The more you can be, the more open and owning your stuff. Like that's to me, those are the people that I'm drawn to. If somebody is showing up as having all their shit together and looking perfect, I'm like, I've been doing this work for too long.
It's too long, right?
I know that there's so much stuff going on behind the scenes. I'm like, oh, this is not good. Right. Like I want to see people being real and raw and vulnerability. You know, it didn't come as second nature for me, didn't come second nature for you. You can expand your capacity for vulnerability. And that, you know, such a large part of this work is your willingness to get comfortable with being uncomfortable more often. And if you're feeling comfortable all the time, you're not really growing. So I don't want people to be like, always, there is a time and a place to like, allow yourself to be comfortable. But if you're not getting what you want in life, whether it's your health, whether it's business growth, whatever it may be, if you're too comfortable, that's why, because you're just still doing the same thing. You're not growing. So we are so hardwired to do everything in our power to avoid pain. And the more we can lean into being uncomfortable and recognize like you're legit not going to die. Right? Like if you go live in the wrong Facebook group, you post on social media, or you put yourself out there, you're not going to die. And, you know, anytime I'm reaching out to somebody that I don't know, I think about you. Cause there's been many times where I've reached out to people and they haven't gotten back to me. It's probably because they're like, who the hell is this woman? And I'm like, yes. I'm just going to keep reaching out to them. I'm just going to keep inviting them. And whatever happens, happens. And you know what? I didn't make it mean anything about me because I know how busy people are. Just because somebody doesn't get back to me doesn't mean they think that I'm garbage or that they don't want to talk to me. Like, I don't know what my inbox looks like. So also get to choose the stories that we tell ourselves that either help us or hurt us. And I think that that's part of being vulnerable as well, is just being open with ourselves around what am I making this mean and do I have to make it mean this?
Totally. Oh my gosh, there's so much in that, Lisa, that I'd love to share, but I'll share another little story about follow-up, right? Because I think this is the thing, right? We make it mean so much. We were doing inside my group program, we were doing some sales role play the other day, you know, and I got this feedback where they were like, I'm so scared to do this. Oh, I just literally wanted to hop off the Zoom chat. I was just so nervous about this, you know. Anyway, we practiced this all and we were talking about the follow-up, like what happens once you've had a sales conversation and, you know, don't actually get the sell on the call, because I'm not one to say we've got to put up the credit card on the call. I'm like, no, give people space, especially if they're emotional, give them the space and all that kind of thing. We were having that conversation. And one of the things about follow-up is, like you rightly said, people are so busy that they actually appreciate the follow-up, right? And so if you're really wanting to connect with someone, don't be shy to keep following up. Don't make it mean, oh, this person doesn't want to do anything. One of my clients, she actually attended my very first summit, going back, I don't know how many years now. And she messaged me and she said, Casey, I sent her a personal invitation to work together, but this was literally 3 years after the summit. She said, Casey, you've gone out of your way to personalize the connection with me so much that when I received this invitation to work with you, it was a complete no-brainer, right? And so this is where this piece around the connection, Lisa, like put the human on the other side of the Facebook profile and the email address, and like look at like how do you genuinely, if you genuinely want to connect with that person, keep going and keep building that thread of connection, because you never know where that relationship's going to go at the end of the day.
That's so true. And you know, I am very not aggressive, because I could never be aggressive, but I'm very unapologetic. When I know that I can help someone, I am completely unapologetic about inviting them and inviting them and following up with them and inviting them, because I know that they're a grown person. They can say no, doesn't mean anything about me. But if I know I can help someone, I feel like I'm doing them a disservice by not following up, because I know people struggle to step into this work, right? Like it's a big commitment to work with a coach. It means you're going to have to be vulnerable and talk about your stuff and deal with things that you've probably been avoiding for a good part of your life. Like that's just the way it is. But as you know, for both of our clients, right? The other side, the possibilities of what's on the other side for them. Like I want people to be well, right? I want people to be well. I want them to get what they want. Genuinely. And I know that you so badly want that for your people too, because you see all these beautiful, quiet women who have these phenomenal gifts that are like huddling in the corner, shaking like little chihuahuas, when it doesn't need to be that way. They just need to align with who they are and find a way to market that feels good for them. Right. And just really step into their power. And you really see that in people. So Casey, tell everybody where they can find out more about you, your programs, anything you want to share, any final thoughts.
Thanks, Lisa. And what I'd love to just close with this final message is, if you are listening and you are feeling like there's this kind of little, like there's that niggle, just remember what got you here won't get you there, right? So we've got to actually make different decisions and different choices. And like you rightly said, Lisa, that's about actually stretching your capacity and doing something that actually is going to get maybe a little bit uncomfortable, maybe greatly uncomfortable, but it's going to shift. And if you really are on this planet to actually make an impact, choose differently, because what's on the other side of that, through the pit of fire, is more magic than you can imagine, right? So so be willing to go through the pit of fire, I would say.
Totally worth it. You know, Lisa Kordoff shared a metaphor with me ages ago, and it's always stuck with me. I know you know Lisa, right? She's like, you're standing in the ring of fire, and the ring of fire is closing in, and it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. She's like, you got an option. You can keep standing there. It's going to keep getting hotter. You're going to get burned. She's like, or you can make the choice to step outside of the ring of fire. You're still going to get burned.
Right.
The benefit is, when you step through the ring of fire, you're going to finally get away from the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely. I think that that's such a powerful metaphor, right? Like, let yourself get burned, do the work, but on the other side, you're going to be free of the pain, the suffering, the heat, the whatever that is going on in your life. So where can people find you, Casey? And what are you, what are you working on these days?
Yes. So if anyone's looking for support one-to-one in terms of helping you scale and grow your business in a way that feels really aligned, feel free to DM me on Facebook. I'm Casey Lightbody on Facebook. I have a pledge. If you want to be part of the Quiet Rebellion and really put your stake in the ground and say, I'm ready to actually step up and own my quiet power, come sign the pledge on quietcollective.com.au. You can join our Rebels Cause Hall of Fame if you like. And I love that. And otherwise, just connect with me on Facebook, DM me, or my website, www.quietcollective.com.au.
And for anybody who is on my email list, which there'll be a link for them to opt in, we're actually going to be sending out free gift to everybody that is on my email list. You want to talk a little bit about that? Don't give them the link, but tell them what it is.
Yes, absolutely. So I've put together a guide which covers off on 13 human-centric lead generation strategies that you can implement without having to navigate the social media algorithms or be on that relentless content creation wheel that I feel so many of us are on. So there's a ton of different lead generation strategies that feel really good. And so we'll be sharing that with your audience.
I read through it and it's gold. I was like, this is gold, and it's beautiful, right? Like, your team did a really beautiful job of putting it together. So
thank you.
Highly, highly valuable. So Casey, it was so great to reconnect with you again and have this conversation. I know it's going to help a lot of people. I appreciate your time being here. I was teasing you earlier about the birds in the background. I'm like, wow, it sounds like you're in a Disney movie. They only chirped up one time during the interview, but I heard them again. So awesome. It's winter here.
I was wondering because I'm so tuned out. I'm so used to them now that I don't hear them. But when I speak, she's like, oh, I hear these birds.
I love it when I'm talking to people on the other side of the world, right? Because it's winter here. And I love hearing like spring and summer over there. Although I guess you guys are heading into fall soon. Anyways, thank you so much for being here. I love this conversation. I know my audience is really going to benefit from it. So thank you for tuning into another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with somebody you know who would benefit. Make sure you leave a rating and review for the podcast. It helps other people just like you find this work, find this message. And I'm here to get women's voices out into the world in bigger ways. So thanks so much for being here, Casey.
Thank you.